WFMS Fishers Indianapolis, a Cumulus station powered by Nash, country for life. Welcome to a Friends and Neighbors Sunday morning on 95.5 WFMS.
And this morning, got a couple of guests with me here in the WFMS studios, representatives of Lambswear Incorporated. I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourselves this morning. You are?
I am Katie Kaplinger.
Okay, good morning, Katie. Thanks for being here. And you, sir?
Steve Taylor.
Katie, why don't you start? Kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your education, family, and your title there with Lambswear Incorporated.
Sure. Well, I'm here from the northeast side of Indianapolis. Have lived here pretty much my whole life. Graduated from Lawrence North High School. Went off to Christian College for early childhood education. And currently, I have my own in-home daycare. And my husband and I are foster parents to medically fragile children. And we love kids. We just are a house full of lots of little children. And my title at Lambswear is I am one of the co-founders and currently really helping in the fundraising department with Lambswear.
Okay, great. And Steve?
Same thing. I grew up here. I've been here my whole life. Went to Lawrence Central High School. Went to Indiana University. Got a degree in marketing and marketing distribution, which definitely helps in the area of this as far as the distributing of clothes and understanding the logistic piece. Married for, my wife's going to kill me, 19 years?
And yeah, we can edit that out, make it a little quicker for you.
Been around for a while. And the 4 kids.
So, all right.
Yeah, love for kids also.
Well, again, both of you, I appreciate your time this Sunday morning. Appreciate you coming in. And let's roll. Let's get right into the meats and potatoes. Katie, tell me all about Lambswear Incorporated. I mean, tell us about the organization and your goals, your objectives. Just how are you guys helping out the community?
Lambswear Inc. is really founded on our love for children and our love to spread God's love throughout our community. So we really thrive on getting donations in from the community, and we process them at our warehouse, and then we give them back out to children in need, whether that's children who have been victims to a natural disaster through fire or flooding, things like that, or single parents just, you know, having a hard time making ends meet. Or a mother and father who are just financially struggling.
Uh-huh. And like, for example, could you give me a number as to how many kids do you think you cater to a given year?
This last year, we serviced just about 2,000 children.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our growth has been pretty, you know, astronomical as far as 370 our first year, 804 our second year, and 1919, so just shy of the 2,000 last year.
Holy smokes, yes. That is quite a growth there, yeah. And Steve, how long has Lambswear Incorporated been around here in the Indianapolis area?
April of 2013 is really the official start of Lambswear. The kind of, you know, baby before Lambswear was September of 2012. It actually came from a church project that Katie and then my wife, who is one of the co-founders, also started, is just trying to help kids in need in the community.
Sure. And those numbers again, mention those, because 3 years, so you're a relatively new organization, but hit those numbers again. Let me hear those again.
So the first year, which was really from April through December, was 370 kids, 804 our second year, that would have been 2014, and then 1919 last year.
Well, you guys are making a splash. Yeah. Very nice. Hey, Katie, where are you all located? Where do you guys call home, the actual?
Yeah, we were in a couple of houses, just kind of making it work through a couple of extra bedrooms and back porches and garages. And we just recently secured a warehouse over in the Sunnyside area off of Pendleton Pike. So we have a brand new location out there off of Thunderbird Road.
Yeah, so not too far from here, actually.
No,
just a stone's throw.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. We had a big community outpouring come out to help us move and to help get all of our shelving up and get all of our totes and everything into place. And we're really making it home there.
Yeah, the growth is exciting. The numbers and the facilities.
It's
and
exciting to be a part of.
Yeah.
Really exciting to be a part of.
Yeah, we're speaking with Katie Kaplinger and Steve Taylor from Lambswear Incorporated. So the goal is to clothe needy children, help out needy children here in the area. Katie, can you tell us the ways you get that clothing? How do you go about collecting it? the donations?
You know, it comes from all over the community. A lot of it is, you know, parents go through their closet and they realize, you know, my kids can't wear this anymore. So they call us up through our phone number. It's 317-721-1664. Or they go to our website, which is www.lambswear.org. And they, you know, reach out to us and say, hey, I've got a donation. Where do I give this to? And we give them a few different areas to drop off their donations to us. We collect the clothes, we bring it to our warehouse, we go through the clothes and kind of distribute it from there.
Okay, so I'm listening this morning. I've got a son that's 7. I don't. He's a lot older than that. That's just, yeah. But and some of his clothes were when he was from like 3 and 4, and I wanted to donate them. What's that phone number again?
It's 317-721-1664.
And the website?
www.lambswear.org.
Okay, great. And Stephen, now let's talk about, once you get the clothes, how do you go about distributing those? Or how, say, for example, a needy family who's looking for your assistance, how do they go about finding you? How do you get that to them?
You know, we try to reach out, and that's part of what I do with the organization, is identify partners that we can work with that will help identify those kids. So we have information packets that go out in the Blue Cross and Blue Shield packets for people that, you know, lower income, health insurance. We work with local schools as far as their counselors in the schools to identify certain kids, foster agencies like Katie's a part of, and other groups like that that help us identify those kids that are in need.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those organizations on your website. So that networking and reaching out with those organizations has to be a plus for you as well, right?
Yeah, it helps a lot where we can identify more kids than if we're going to try to go identify each kid individually.
Right.
I mean, if we can get with the groups, you know, Children's Bureau or places like that that already have that network of kids, then we can just kind of swing in and partner with them.
Okay, cool. Now, we're speaking with Stephen Taylor and Katie Kaplinger from Lambswear Incorporated. And Katie, now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned about, you know, collecting the clothes and donating, but you also have several events that occur throughout the year. Now, tell me about some of those.
Yeah, our events are very exciting and very important to us because as a nonprofit, we have to raise our own funds to be able to operate from month to month and year to year. And coming up, starting February 1st, we are kicking off a brand new campaign called Sponsor a Child. And for only $20 a month, you could help 12 children a year. And that would help them receive their clothing bag. That would help, you know, pay for our new warehouse and our bills and our bags that we have to buy. And our we put a children's Bible and a coloring book and crayons in these bags as well to help our other part of our mission, which is to spread God's love. Or you could choose another monthly donation. If you don't want to do just $20 a month, you want to sponsor 2 children a year, you could choose $40 a month. It's up to you how much you want to give. Or you could just choose a one-time donation.
Okay, and that $20 a month, again, is going to help out 12 children here in the community.
Here, yes.
Okay, and then you had something going on the full month, right?
Yeah, the month of February, starting February 1st through February 28th, we're going to start teaming up with the company 31. And we're going to be giving them the opportunity to purchase a really cute tote for $35. And for every tote that is purchased, Lambswear will receive $10 of that profit.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. Great.
And the totes are absolutely adorable.
And then a couple other big events that you have through the year, too. Not until May and October, but tell us about those.
Every year, our two huge fundraisers are the Undie 500 in May, where we collect all newly packaged underwear, and we have a really good time with that. We have lots of different events that happen throughout May to collect underwear and lots of different competitions and goals and all that kind of stuff in May. So check our website out during the month of May. It's a lot of fun to get involved with. And then in October, we do Socktober, which is where we collect all of our newly packaged socks. And we try to hit those months really hard to help us keep those flowing throughout the entire year.
Right. And October, just a few months back, you had a great Socktober, didn't you?
Fantastic, yeah. Socktober. My numbers guy over here can tell you the good the number that we reached.
And we hadn't really tracked previously, so we don't know how that grew, but 5,054 pairs of socks.
Wow.
Just in October.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that as well. And he's probably like, oh, I'll see if the number man's got it there. And he certainly did. So, yeah.
I got all those. And then even in the Indy 500, obviously, you know, we started that as 500, Indy 500 as a goal. So our first year, we reached 504 pair. So we just said earlier we started in April, so our second month of existence, we kicked off with this promotion and got 504 pair. What is our second year? 672, and then 1,858 last year.
Excellent.
So just kind of incrementally growing, just like the number of kids.
Yeah, yeah. And I also saw on the website, Steve, and what was that website again?
www.lambswear.org.
There you go. That Lambswear Incorporated was kind of built on donation. And you, like a lot of organizations, you know, they're similar to you, nonprofit groups, they rely strongly. They rely heavily on the volunteers. So both of you, I guess, what type of opportunities are available for someone who might be interested in volunteering with your organization?
There's a couple, and I know one big, or really two big, packing the bags is a big need. You know, when we get these inbound children that need these clothing packed, having those come in, delivery, that's another big thing. So that's all volunteer-based as far as coordinating delivery for some families that can't physically, you know, make it to us. And, you know, get to this side of town to pick up as far as a delivery. And then just the sorting of clothes. So like Katie had mentioned earlier, when clothes come in, we sort through them. We want to make sure what we're giving out is clean, appropriate, you know, in good work, you know, good condition. So those are kind of the big three hands-on, you know, opportunities. And then obviously you have your, you know, monetary donations that are always, you know, useful to help fund everything else.
Sure. Monetary donation, that's available on the web as well, right?
Absolutely.
Are there other volunteer opportunities, Katie, that you wanted to mention?
There's a few other ones and you can find all of these on the web also.
I noticed the website has a great job of explaining what you're looking for and what you're needing. So
it's newly designed. It's redesigned, I should say, by a new person we just brought on board. So we're loving the new website look. You can come in, like you said, do the bag packing and the sorters, a delivery. We're also looking for someone to help us answer the phone lines, not only in English, but our Spanish line. We do have a great population who are Spanish speaking, and so we need people who are fluent in Spanish to help us answer those phone lines as well.
I see. Yeah, and we talked a little bit off air when you guys first came into the studio this morning that with those volunteer opportunities, I mean, your time is so precious, you know, to organizations like this. And a lot of people think, well, you know what, I'd really only have one day a week. But there are opportunities on that website for a day a week. If you've got a couple hours, I mean, you can use them, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really, no time is too small. It's going to help. It's going to help in, you know, if you got an hour a week, you can probably sort 25 bags. That's 25 kids. That you're able to help in that area. So, yeah, no time is too small.
Yeah, and with the numbers you're dealing with, you know, it all adds up, so everything's helpful. So, again, the phone number, if they're interested in donating or volunteering, is?
317-721-1664.
And the website again, Steve?
www.lambswear.org.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you both for being here again this morning. One more time, Katie, let's talk about that campaign that's kicking off in February. Let's really dwell on that one more time, and then I'll let you go.
Absolutely. Starting February 1st, you can sponsor a child for just $20 a month. That's 12 children a year that you could be helping with your monthly donation. There's also an option on the website that you can choose for any other monthly donation. Or you can also choose the option of a one-time gift. No amount is too small. Any amount helps keep our organization going.
Right. And again, the website, get on there, look around if you're looking to donate. If you've got some clothes there, some children's clothes at your house, I mean, if you're a parent, I know you have them. I know you're listening. You know, sort through that, put them in some bags, and get a hold of Lambswear Incorporated, and they'll be happy to take them. So, Katie, Steve, thank you so much. Pleasure meeting you both.
Likewise.
So exciting.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, chatting with you and just your numbers and what you've done and in the short amount of time that you've been about is exciting. So we appreciate everything you're doing for the community. And again, thank you for coming in today. Phone number one more time, Katie?
One more time, 317-721-1446.
And the website, Steve?
It's www.lambswear.org. And one thing we didn't mention is our Facebook page.
Okay.
So obviously, they can get on there and get a little more immediate updates as far as needs or volunteer opportunities.
Absolutely. Great call. Sure. Again, Lambswear Incorporated. Help out if you can. Thank you too much. You too, keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
The 95.5 WFMS Friends and Neighbors Community Show. If your nonprofit organization would like to be featured on the Friends and Neighbors Show, contact us at info@WFMS.com. Let us know how we can help you, or if you'd like to help us with our Friends and Neighbors Community Outreach Program. We're all friends and neighbors. 95.5 WFMS.
Good morning, it's Roland Norio. I want to welcome my guest in the studio today, Darcy Kurtz. Good morning.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for getting up so early to be here today.
Oh, anytime.
And Darcy, you're the founder and vice president of FIDO.
That is correct.
Tell us what that stands for.
Okay. FIDO is an acronym for Friends of Indianapolis, Dogs Outside. And we're an all-volunteer animal welfare organization. We've been in existence for about 10 years, and our focus is obviously on outside dogs, so with a specific focus on dogs that, you know, live their lives on the end of a chain or might live in a small pen, mm-hmm. you know, that would be classified as, quote, outside backyard dogs.
Okay. And when you said dogs that are on a chain or maybe in a small pen, you kind of have an eye out for dogs that are maybe not being treated the best.
Right. Those dogs tend to be forgotten, mm-hmm. you know, unlike house dogs where, you know, the dogs are part of the family. Often these mm-hmm. dogs are kept outside as guard dogs or, you know, sort of yard ornaments to kind of look tough as a deterrent. And sometimes they're just, you know, cast outside if, you know, there were problems inside the house and they were just kind of, you know, kind of cast outside in the backyard.
Yeah.
And yeah, we do find that the neglect of these dogs is all too frequent.
Like you said, maybe they messed up in the house or they just maybe too hyper or something like that and they put them outside.
Or they get too big. Often, you know, people feel like large dogs are not house dogs. You know, once they're no longer a puppy, they get thrown out in the backyard.
Yeah, they're cute when they're babies.
Exactly.
But then what kind of areas of Indianapolis do you target? What's your target market?
Well, we find that, you know, a large percentage of the outside dogs do live in kind of inner city, poor, mm-hmm. high crime neighborhoods. So those are the areas that we do our outreach on and kind of focus our efforts on.
What are some of the goals you have for the organization?
I mean, you know, we would love for all dogs to be part of the family, mm-hmm. you know, and we do what we can towards that end, but, you know, if it's simply a matter of improving the immediate conditions of that dog, you know, we'll do whatever we can. However, the good part is we have got Indianapolis care and treatment ordinances pertaining to outside dogs that we can work with. And it's really good timing doing this radio interview because
some new ones.
Yes. It went into effect September 30th of last year. And the components of the ordinance do require that during extreme weather, certain additional requirements apply for the care of outside dogs. One being if the temperature falls below 40 degrees. You can't simply keep your dog in an empty shell of a doghouse. There's got to be added protections.
Some insulation.
To help that dog stay warm. So we highly recommend using straws. It's the best way for dogs to get in their doghouse, burrow down, and stay warm. And you've got to have some kind of flexible covering over the opening. So dog's not going to be able to stay warm with a big opening in an empty doghouse. So we feel like those are some really good very basic protections for dogs. And then if the temperature falls below 20, you cannot keep them outside. They have got to be brought in some temperature controlled facility, and we would hope it would be someone's house so that the dog can be with the people.
Yeah, I know even in garages, it gets pretty cold in the
wintertime.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, if the garage is heated, it's better than being out, you know, in sub-zero temperatures.
Outside, yeah.
But we always want to help people bring the dogs inside. Dogs are social animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's miserable for them to be living outside in isolation.
Oh, sure. That's why they're always on the couch or
exactly.
right in front of the fireplace. I know mine's perched there whenever we have it turned
that's
on.
That's what we would love for all dogs.
Yeah. Now, when you say that folks should have these things in place, How do you find out about these people? I mean, do you go out into the neighborhoods? How do you identify these folks that are not complying with
right.
some of these ordinances?
So currently, you know, we're launching a public education campaign because we realize people, they first have to know what the expectations are for how they're caring for their dog. You know, that's the first step. And yeah. then so we've launched a public education campaign where we're running bus boards with, you know, messages about the ordinance. We're attending neighborhood association meetings. We are, you know, we've got informational pamphlets in pretty much all the low cost vet clinics, and, you know, radio shows like this just mm-hmm. to get the word out. So that's the starting point for people to know, okay, you know, times have changed. You can no longer keep your dog on the end of a chain, you know, in the middle of winter. You know, the kind of the bar is being raised in our community. And then we actually also do outreach where we go out on the weekend mm-hmm. into, you know, lower income, higher crime neighborhoods and literally drive down alleys and look for dogs that need our help. And we don't have enforcement authority. So, you know, we can only take a friendly, helpful approach. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have to work with their owner. So, yeah. you know, we go approach the owner in a non-confrontational way and offer our services for free. And a lot of people are receptive to our help.
Do you ever get any pushback from some folks?
We do. You yeah. know, some people are offended. And we step back and, you know, If the conditions are extremely bad, we will contact Animal Care and Control because they do have the enforcement authority. We can only help people that want our help. For people where there are violations, mm-hmm. That's where Animal Care and Control can get involved. And that's a distinction that we like to make with the public that, you know, for people who are seeking our help, you know, call us. Our helpline is 221-1314. And then for people that are concerned about someone else's dog, the approach to take is Indianapolis Animal Care and Control. And they can be reached through the Mayor's Action Center at 327-4622.
Is this also on your webpage?
It is.
As well?
Yes.
What's your website address?
It is fidoindy.org.
Fidoindy, FIDOindy.org.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure you've gone up to maybe approach some owners, and they seem like they're receptive and they're concerned, and they tell you they're going to do something about it, but then you probably go back and check on them too,
yeah,
right? What
yeah.
happens in some
and
of those
right.
cases?
And you're right. When we do our kind of our what we call alley outreach, you know, mm-hmm. we're trying to cover as much ground as possible. So we will, you know, it's a good opportunity to tell people about the new ordinances and then we offer our supplies for free on the spot. So, you know, we can offer a better dog house and a bale of straw to use. And we also offer free training crates so that, you know, people that are reluctant to bring a dog in the house because it's going to mess their house
yeah.
up. So you've got, you know, a kind of a little containment system, at least to get it inside overnight, because it is illegal to chain your dog overnight. And that's been a law that's been in effect for many years. But
and that's regardless of the weather.
That's
too,
regardless
right?
of the weather. You
okay.
cannot keep your dog continuously chained. And so the law says you got to get them off that chain overnight between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So back to your question. So, you know, so we will offer a lot of, you know, help on the spot and also free spay neuter. That's part of our program because, you know, if you're struggling to take care of the dogs you already have, you probably shouldn't be bringing more dogs into your home.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
Sometimes we have problems with the follow-up on the spay neuter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're right. We do. Sometimes we'll go as far as putting up a new kennel for people to provide a good way to safely contain their dogs and so that they're not going to be chained up. And you're right. Sometimes there have been cases. I think of one in particular that was really pretty gut-wrenching. Three chained dogs. You know, got them spayed and neutered, put up a huge kennel for them, thought we had the situation fixed, and drove by probably 6 months later, and the dogs looked like they were starving to death.
Yeah.
And things had really fallen apart, a change kind of in the family dynamics, people had moved out. That's kind of an extreme case. Fortunately, that does not happen that often, but you're right. It does require follow-up because things you can deteriorate. You know, you think you've got things, you know, kind of on track with people. Mm-hmm. But I will say most of the time, I think if you provide people the information and the assistance, most of the time they will, you know, adhere to that.
One of the things that you offered was information on low cost or free spaying and neutering.
Right.
So you work with other organizations that are for animal rights and their needs.
Yes.
One would find that information also on the website where they can find low cost or free.
Yes.
Spay and neutering.
Yes. Yes. There are several clinics in town. There's the Face Low Cost Spay Neuter Clinic. It's been operation for, 15 years. There's the Humane Society Animal Welfare Center Spay Neuter Clinic. And then there's a couple, there's a clinic in Brownsburg and Noblesville that are kind of in the suburbs, but also are, you know, help with low-cost spay neuter. So there's lots of options available to people.
Mm-hmm.
And people just, you know, they need to be told, you know, what their options are.
Sure.
And often people will comply. You got to get the information out to them.
Absolutely. Darcy Kurtz, my special guest in the studio from FIDO. That stands for Friends of Indianapolis Dogs Outside. She is the founder and vice president. And Darcy, how many people do you have on staff?
Well, we are all volunteers. So there is no paid staff. There's a board of directors. There's four of us. And we've got a kind of really committed pool of volunteers of about 20. And then more, kind of an extended group of volunteers of maybe 50. But yeah, we are all volunteers, and you know, we're out there, you know, every weekend. We've also got a large pet food pantry that serves about 150 families every couple weeks. And again, spay neuter is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, to help keep pets in the home and out of the shelters, you know. Indianapolis Animal Care and Control is always, well, not always, but frequently, you know, full. And so I think as a community, we're doing a good job of trying to decrease the number of unwanted dogs and cats. And in order to do that, a big component is keeping these animals in the home.
Sure.
So that they're not being surrendered because people can't feed them or can't properly care for them.
What are some of the other volunteer opportunities?
We have lots of volunteer opportunities. The first ways we have people volunteer is through our pet food pantry, because it's in our own facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a controlled environment, and people just can kind of get a feel for how we work. And, you know, and we have people coming to us for help. So you kind of get some experience working with our clientele. And then another really important piece is our outreach, where we do go out into the lower income neighborhoods. And, you know, we see some often sad situations with dogs, and we have to be very careful in our approach with our owners, but we always need more volunteers.
Sure.
With that, because that need is really large to reach all the dogs out there that need help. And we also, a little more upbeat is, I had mentioned we have a fencing program. So once we've helped people get all their dogs fixed, especially if there's multiple chain dogs in a given family, that we'll put up a large kennel so that the dogs can, you know, run and play loose together in a secure area.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a fun, upbeat project, because you've kind of already got the situation under control and the animals are all fixed, and it's mm-hmm. kind of the last step of really improving the situation.
Yeah, you're making it more fun for
exactly.
the family, for the dogs to run
mm-hmm.
around. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, being a nonprofit organization, how are you funded?
We have a lot of really great supporters that, you know, send in a check every month. We've got some funding through some larger funding agencies in Indianapolis, and then some smaller funding agencies. We do fundraising events. So it's a wide combination of sources of funding. But I will say, I mean, we do a lot with the small pool of volunteers that we have, and and budget that we work with, you know, and you know, the more volunteers and the more funding we can bring in, the greater that we can serve the animals of Indianapolis, because the need is really great out there.
Sure. So you take donations, not just money, but are you're taking donations for like materials for,
yes,
for building
mm-hmm.
fences or for the dog house? You mentioned the igloo shells.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's one thing that makes it easier for people to donate supplies to us, because we'll take, you know, used dog houses and used training crates, and you know, we'll disinfect them and we'll get them out to the community, so people don't necessarily have to buy new things for us, you know, things that are sitting in their garages, old dog houses and dog training crates. You know, we can get cleaned up and get them back sure. out into the community for people and dogs that need them.
Darcy, I want to thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
A lot of good information. And of course, we can find that on your website. Your website one more time.
It's phytoindy.org.
Phytoindy.org talks about a lot of the new ordinances that have to do with taking care of your pets, especially this time of the year when it gets really cold and we need to watch out for those animals. Darcy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The 95.5 WFMS Friends and Neighbors Community Show. If your nonprofit organization would like to be featured on the Friends and Neighbors Show, contact us at info@WFMS.com. Let us know how we can help you, or if you'd like to help us with our Friends and Neighbors Community Outreach Program. We're all friends and neighbors. 95.5 WFMS.